Isn't that a great passage of scripture? If you haven't already turned to it in your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to begin our journey in that passage together today. And it really sets the tone for our theme for August, which is to fan into flame the gift that is in you. A couple of weeks ago, we were out at Narrumbeen visiting friends, and we stayed on a farm, and on our last night there, they'd organised to have a bonfire. Has anyone ever been to a bonfire on a farm or somewhere else where you can really stoke it up? So we had several trees worth of wood just piled up in a paddock, and they lit it up for us, and it was really going, and it was burning nice and hot, but too much is never enough when it comes to bonfires. So me and the kids, we were out scrounging every bit of dead wood that we could find, and we were all just, you know, heaping it onto this bonfire. And you know, it gets to that point where even from 3 or 4 meters away, it's just scorchingly hot, and you're trying to throw the wood on and you're getting burnt in the process. But you're watching this bonfire just get hotter and hotter and brighter, and you're seeing the light of it shining in the trees around the paddock. And it's just a great experience. And if you've never done that, I encourage you. I know a farm, we can go there and you can experience a bonfire. There's still some wood left. We've used a fair chunk of it, but there is still some wood left. But after that had finished, went back to the farmhouse that we were staying in. And before we'd gone out, because the nights were pretty cold a couple of weeks back out in that area, so I had the fire going. But by the time we got back several hours later, it had gone down to just a few coals. And similarly, many of you will know what it's like to revive a fire in a fireplace. I chucked on some more mallee roots. And what do you do to get it going again? You blow on it. And you see the coals burn hotter and brighter, and then it bursts into flame and the fire gets going. And again, it brings light and warmth to the house. In 2 Timothy 1, where Paul urges Timothy to fan into flame the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands, there's a very similar imagery that I've just described. The expression fan into flame, it could be used either of a fire that is already going and burning really well, but you're just wanting to stoke it and get it brighter and brighter and hotter and hotter. It can be used in that sense. And it can be used in the sense of reviving something that has died down to almost nothing, and you really need to gently restore it and bring it back to life again. And my prayer is that during August, that God, as we read the scriptures where Paul urges Timothy to fan into flame the gift that is in him, that we will also find that God does that work in us. That he will fan into flame the gifts that are in us for the extension of his kingdom around the world. As we minister according to how God has designed us to do that, and as we partner with people right around the world and work together as a team, that God will cause his kingdom to grow as people's gifts are fanned into flame. And you might be at a stage of life at the moment where you're already burning hot, where you're excited about your faith, that you're loving sharing your faith in the many different ways that we get to do that. Or you may be somebody whose passion has died down a little bit. You may be somebody who's just beginning their Christian journey, and this is a new thing for you to be able to share what has become precious to you. Whatever stage of the journey you're at, fanning into flame looks like burning hotter and brighter for Jesus Christ, being more visible by being his presence in the world. And this passage is going to really help us as we explore it over the next 3 weeks. So as Brendan said, we're going to be focusing on three different aspects over the next 3 weeks. So if you bring along your notes each week, you can write down to you, not everything I say, because that might take a little bit more space than what I've allowed in the flyers, but whatever God really impresses upon your heart as what he wants you to take away, write it down in those flyers, and let's see what the Holy Spirit does in us as we focus on this section of God's word. So in 2 Timothy 1:6, where this verse is found, as Paul reminds Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God that is in him through the laying on of Paul's hands, what does Paul actually mean by that? What is the gift that is in Timothy? What are the gifts that are within us? And how do we fan into flame? If it's a commandment, how do we go about actually obeying it, doing something about it? So as we explore that over the next 3 weeks, we're going to begin by looking at the message of the gospel, the first aspect of what 2 Timothy 1 talks about as part of fanning into flame the gift of God that is in us. If God is going to powerfully work in me and in you and in our partners around the world in order to see his kingdom grow, if he's going to save people as the gospel shines out from us, we need to know it and love it and live it. We need to have sincere faith in the true gospel. In verse 3 of our passage, Paul mentioned how he serves God with a clear conscience. And later on in the letter, as you go down to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, we read some more words about that. From 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, we read this. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." As Paul writes this letter, the letter in your Bible is known as 2 Timothy, he's approaching what he is certain to be the end of his life. Under Emperor Nero, things had gotten very, very difficult for Christians in Rome. Paul had gone from being in house arrest originally to languishing in a dungeon, and he knows that his end is near. And as he looks back over his ministry, he knows that God has worked through him, not just in enabling him to speak the true message of the gospel, but also in working through Paul to help him sincerely live the gospel, to passionately embody it in his lifestyle as well as in the message that he preaches. And he's not pretending to have done that perfectly. That would contradict the very message of the gospel. But yet Paul can look back over his life and say, not only have I proclaimed this, I have really passionately loved it and lived it in the way I've sought to live my life. It's not enough to proclaim the true message. You've got to have sincerity in your faith and in your devotion to it. And as he writes to Timothy, he points out to Timothy that he's had those kinds of people in his life. He's had Paul as a mentor. He's had his grandmother Lois. He's had his mother Eunice, people who have sincerely held on to the message of the gospel, who have not only proclaimed it and taught it, but have actually lived it out. Timothy's gotten to see the reality of how the gospel changes people's life. And the sincerity of their faith has been a massive gift to Timothy in the development of his own faith. So now as Paul writes to Timothy, he's really passing on the baton. He knows that his time on this earth is short, and he's desperate to see the message of the gospel continue to go out, to see more and more people saved, to see more and more lives transformed, and it's through people like Timothy that that's going to happen. And he says to Timothy, just like you've had me in your life, just like you've had your grandmother and your mother, now you be that person. You be that person for other people, the person who not only is willing to talk about the true message of the gospel, but who shows in the way that you live your life that you sincerely believe this, that it has captured your heart. And there's a bit of encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy about this urging that he gives him, because he's already seen that Timothy is on his way to doing this. He's already seen the sincerity of Timothy's faith, and he writes about that in chapter 1. He's persuaded that this same faith that lived in his grandmother and his mother lives in Timothy, that he's really grabbed hold of it. There's an element to which the translation from the original language into our modern English doesn't quite convey the richness of how Paul describes this for Timothy. It says, in my version at least, "I've seen your sincere faith." But literally what that means is, I've seen that you're not acting. The word there for sincere is taken from the word that we translate as hypocrite, an actor. You might remember that Jesus used that word a lot. Many of the religious leaders of his day says, you guys are like actors. You put on your mask, you strut out on stage, and you play a role. That's your public religious life. And then you go home and you take off your mask and you stop playing your role and you just become your real selves. Jesus said, for many people, that's how you live your life. You put on a show for others. It's not the real deal you're presenting. It's a different mask they're seeing and a different way of living that they're seeing. It's not true to who you actually are. That's what it means to be a hypocrite, an actor. And this word sincere, Paul's, it literally means you're not one of those. You are a not hypocrite. You're somebody who doesn't go out in public and present something else. In fact, when you go out, people see who you actually are. They hear what you really believe. They see what's genuinely on your heart, not on what you're wanting to portray to them. What a wonderful thing to say of a person, that they are genuine, that they are the real article, the real deal. And Paul says of Timothy, I know this about you. I know this about you. I've seen the evidence of it in the heart that you have for Jesus and for other people. What does he say there? Recalling your tears. I know how moved you are by the truth. I know how moved you are by your desire as we pray together and as we work alongside one another to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ and to genuinely love people. There's a lovely passage where Paul writes to a group of people in Philippi, to the church there, about Timothy. And as he writes to the Philippians, this is what he says from verse 19 of chapter 2. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Timothy was genuinely gripped by the gospel. It caused him to love Jesus and to love others in a way that was just obvious to those who knew him well. What does it mean to be gripped by the gospel? What does it mean to have sincere faith, to know it, to love it, and to live it? What is this message that Timothy had been so gripped by? Well, Paul explains it in chapter 1, and if you've got your Bibles open, if you have it on a device or in a hard copy, I'd invite you to scan it as I summarize how Paul describes the gospel in this particular passage. Paul describes the gospel in 2 Timothy 1 as how God saves us and calls us to a holy life, a life where we're not living for ourselves, we're actually living for God. And God saves us. He brings us into his family. He enables us to live completely for him, not because of anything we've done to earn that, but because of his purpose and grace. Even before the beginning of time, before Adam and Eve rebelled against God, before the earth was filled with wickedness in the time of Noah, before we poured out our hatred against God on his son Jesus Christ, before you and I first committed those sins which have hurt God, before any of that happened, God, knowing all those things in advance, chose to send Jesus into the world to reconcile us to himself, to free us from the curse of sin and death, to achieve for us that which we could not achieve for ourselves, immortality. And moral perfection. No longer will we be drawn to do those things which cause God and others so much pain. God has done all of this for us in Jesus. And he invites us to receive the good news through faith. And he appoints us who believe in Jesus to be his ambassadors to the world, to share the truth of all that he has done for us in Christ with others. That's how Paul kind of portrays the gospel in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And he describes himself, he describes Timothy and Lois and Eunice as people who sincerely believe this message of all that God has done for us in Jesus and all that God has called us to, and says these are people who have been gripped by this message and who are sincere in how they live it out. And it causes me to wonder, just like Paul was able to write about his own life autobiographically, and Timothy was able to experience that as a companion of Paul, just as Paul noted in Lois and Eunice that same type of faith, and he was able to see in Timothy's own development of his faith that genuine being gripped by the gospel of knowing it, of loving it, of living it. I wonder what people would point to in my life and in your life if they were to say, well, does Mike have a sincere faith in Jesus? What would I list as the evidence that I think of to prove that that might be the case? And what about in your life? What are the evidences that you have been gripped, that you have sincere faith in the good news of Jesus Christ? And Paul Paul looks at Timothy's tears. He looks at the way that Timothy has served alongside him. He's looked at the way that Timothy has put the interests of the mission of declaring and sharing the love of Jesus Christ ahead of his own personal comforts. You might remember in the book of Acts, when Timothy first began to work alongside Paul, he was circumcised because they didn't want anything to get in the way of him ministering amongst the Jewish community. He was willing to pay a price physically, emotionally, spiritually, geographically, relationally. Timothy was invested in his mission, and Paul saw that and said, this is a young man who I can be confident. I'm going to entrust the message of the gospel to, and I'm going to say to him, and we read this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, now Timothy, you entrust that to others who are like you, who will be qualified to then share it with the next generation and the generation after that. Look for people who are sincerely gripped by the gospel. Some of you might think back to the moment of your baptism, and that might be a moment where you take great joy in remembering, you know what? I was so scared about doing that. I didn't want to stand up in front of people. I didn't want to get wet and cold or any of those sort of things. But the biggest thing was to actually declare my faith in front of others and be really self-conscious about that. But I did that. Why? Because I wanted people to know I really believe this stuff about Jesus. I really know that he is my Savior. I know that he died and he rose again. And I know that he's given me eternal life. And I want to give my life completely and to follow him in obedience. That's why you did that. And you might think of particular conversations you've had with others where your heart was beating and you thought, oh, I'm so nervous about being vulnerable about what I believe and I don't want to be ridiculed for it or teased or what, or maybe excluded, but this is so important, I want to share it. And you've got those moments where you can point to and say, you know what? That was a moment of sincerity where I was genuinely captured by the beauty and the power of the good news of Jesus Christ, not only in my life, but its potential to transform other people's lives as well. I was sincere. I wasn't hiding behind a mask. I wasn't playing a role. I wasn't one thing on Sunday and another thing on Monday. I was actually showing people what I really believe and what I'm really committed to. And it's really encouraging to look back over life and to see moments like that. Now, if you look back over your life and see moments where you weren't like that, you're not alone. Don't worry. Like I said of Paul, he would never pretend that he was always like that. But by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the support around him of God's people, he was able to grow into that. Just like he's urging Timothy to keep growing into that. That's why he uses the phrase, fan into flame. Whether you're burning hot already or whether it's gone down to coals, you can always burn brighter. You can always share more light into the world. You can always bring more of the heat of the presence of God into your circumstances. None of us has fully arrived. We're on the journey. But whatever it looks like for you today, you can take the next step. You can gently blow on those coals. You can add that big branch to the other big branches that are already on fire. You can take the next step in fanning into flame the gift of God that is in you to see his kingdom grow. Maybe like Paul said of Timothy to the Philippians, maybe your next step might be something like the way that you decide to not pursue your own interests, but to take a genuine interest in the welfare of others. And in August, we think of our partners around the world and we think about how we support them financially and we pray for them and we stay in touch with them. Maybe that's a way that God is calling you to take another step. Maybe it's in that willingness to engage in conversations, to ask some deeper questions in your workplace or even here at church as you build the habit of talking about the things that matter in life and being prayerful about, God, would you open an opportunity for me to share what's important to me with the people who are important to me in my life? Maybe it's the fact that you haven't yet made that decision to be baptized. Maybe you're at that stage of the journey where you're learning what obedience to Christ looks like, and that's the next step for you. Maybe that'll be the way that you really boldly declare your faith and you fan into flame that opportunity that God's given you to declare the message of the gospel. It's going to look different for all of us. But let me tell you one thing for sure. You won't fan into flame the gift that is in you, what God has built into you as your potential to bring others to Jesus. You won't grow in that by playing it safe. You won't stoke the fires of your passion for Christ and his kingdom by always prioritizing your own interests above the interests of Christ and his kingdom. You won't find a comfortable way to lose your life so that you may truly find it. Sincerity of faith in the true gospel is when you stop putting on that religious mask and you're willing to be genuine in how you know and love and live the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. So how will the people watching your life this week be able to say, like Timothy could have Paul and Paul could have Timothy, that there is a sincerity of faith there? This is the real deal. This person actually believes that Jesus Christ came into our world to save us, to give us eternal life, to change our eternal destiny, and he makes that offer open to all who will believe. What will that look like for you this week? I wonder if it's simply to, as we were doing this morning, as we sang and as we took communion and as we prayed, I wonder if it's as simple as learning to enjoy and be gripped afresh by the good news of Jesus. Was it possible to keep a straight face while we sang this morning? How did you find that? Were you distracted by other things going on? I love watching the kids go up and down the stairs. That's pretty awesome. But despite any of that stuff that may be on the periphery, when you see those words, is it possible to not be moved by those? Maybe your next step this week is just to come afresh into the truth of Jesus Christ as you read the scriptures, as you talk about the scriptures, and just be moved again by how amazingly powerful the gospel message is. Or maybe the next step for you is in how you do something about it, in sharing that message with somebody else. I don't know what it is for you, but I've got some really good news for you. You don't have to figure it out either. Because there is a God in heaven who is paying attention to your life. And just like he was using Paul to encourage Timothy, and we'll see some of the specific ways over the next few weeks that Paul does that, God can use his word and his Holy Spirit to encourage you to take your next step in sincerity of faith in the true gospel. Let's pray.